Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 2. We are continuing, I believe I can finish tonight, this kind of mini-series on characteristics of unwise people. We are talking about the topic of wisdom. Now, in that, we talked about what wisdom was. Wisdom is viewing life from God's perspective, seeing life from God's point of view. Folks, can I tell you something? When you start looking at the Christian life through God's eyes and not yours, the Christian life gets much easier. It really, really does. Now, when you start looking at the Christian life through your eyes, you say, I don't understand. You're right. Your ways are not his ways. Your thoughts are not his thoughts. A five-year-old does not understand why mommy and daddy tell them to do what they're supposed to do. When they become 35 and they have a five-year-old, they start understanding why mommy and daddy said what mommy and daddy said. Say why? Because they're looking at it from different eyes. And when you start viewing the Christian life from God's point of view, life becomes much easier for you, I promise you. We used some illustrations. Wisdom is not one of those things you get at one time and you have it the rest of your life. It's not like buying a stove or refrigerator and you only have to buy it about once every 20 years or so. Wisdom is one of those things you have to constantly get. I likened it unto the faucet in your house. You're that conduit, that faucet that keeps everything flowing. You get it as you need it. And that's exactly what wisdom is. Now, we gave several weeks ago characteristics of wise people. And for the last, I know at least 3 weeks, I think this is week four, giving characteristics of unwise people. Say, why would you do that? Well, first of all, we needed to know what wise people are. Then we needed to know what in our own life was not wise. We also need to know who is not wise so we don't spend time from them so they don't rob our wisdom. And that is the purpose of these lessons on characteristics of unwise people. And I am not going to go through the first 31 principles. Go online, listen to the sermons, you'll get them. We're going to pick up with number 32 because I've got to get through 10 of these things tonight. And I want to get you out on time or just a titch early tonight. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 2. The Bible says, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Now, I want you to get this principle here. Unwise people do not listen to truth if it opposes their position. Unwise people are only for the truth if it helps their position. If you want to bring truth to a fool and they're opposing you, they will not listen to the truth. By the way, the Bible says that they will not support finding the credibility of truth. They just look for something to agree with them. Then they'll say, I have support. I have backing. You know, it's amazing. The average fool, if you took them to court, what they call evidence wouldn't even make it in a court case. Everybody doing okay? Be careful. You say, well, experts say, did you ever notice they never name who the experts are? Well, scientists say, you notice they never tell you who these scientists are? Well, we have scientists agreeing that global warming is upon us. We also have scientists who say there's no such thing. Now, let's find the credibility of things. We also have people who said that they were scientists who have already admitted openly in world courts that they doctored the numbers. Now, let's find the credibility here. Fools don't look at credibility. They find someone to agree with them. Okay? Listen very carefully. They don't want justice. They want things their way. They want to become the justice. Now, they want people to believe what they have to say is the truth, and it doesn't matter what anybody else says. Can I tell you something? That's the only book that matters. It does not matter what somebody else says. What does that book say? For 25 years in the ministry, I have made this statement. I grew up for the last 46 years. I've heard my dad make this statement. As growing up, he would say, I don't care what your last name is. Say, what was that? The ground was level. And I believe that. It doesn't matter who or what you are. You're not the God-inspired source of all truth. The Word of God is. Just because you think you saw something does not mean it's truth. If you ever seen something and swore up and down you saw it, then you found out what really happened and you thought, how could I have thought something like that? Some things don't always appear as they are, even though your eyeball saw it. It's amazing. If you have a traffic accident, how differently people see things. And they're all watching a different part of it. Some people even tell you that there's different colored cars because they were colorblind like me. Everybody doing all right? Okay, is there anybody home out there tonight? Here we go. I got to hurry here. Look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. Number 33, unwise people have contention and arguing around their conversations continually. You find somebody that's always in the middle of an argument, and I'll show you somebody that's not wise. Yes. Promise you. Somebody that's always in the middle of an argument. The Bible says, A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. Look at verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Look, he's one of those guys that no matter where he goes, he's going to cause trouble, or she. Unwise people love to argue, and they use it as a tool to keep everybody else shut up. There are some people that are so foolish, they'll get you into an argument to keep you away from the truth.
Right. Yes.
When I go soul winning, do you know if I meet up with somebody that does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, virgin born, I don't go any farther? You say, well, how do you win them to Christ? I can't if they don't believe he is who he is. I stop right there. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. And you say, well, how do you talk to a Mormon, or how do you talk to a non-believer, an atheist, or whatever? Same way I talk to anybody else. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, virgin born, lived a sinless life, came to this earth, lived and died, shed his blood, resurrected again? If they don't believe that, they can't get saved. I don't care what their religion is. Everybody gets saved the same way. Doesn't matter what they believe, what they've been taught. It just matters what the truth is. The Bible says unwise people call for strokes. That means they try to disband, overthrow, or conquer. People who are always going around trying to stir up trouble to get people to rebel. Hey, that guy that goes around work trying to get a group of guys, or that lady that goes around to get a group of people around her to go against management. Those are unwise people.
Yes, sir.
They're trying to get people together to disband things. I've used this illustration in recent weeks. Remember a couple of years ago you had the protesters against Wall Street? The nasty 1% Wall Streeters. It's amazing when the president has to talk about how good his bad economy is, he uses Wall Street. And every one of those people work for somebody from Wall Street. Say why? Because poor people don't employ anybody. Now, I don't mean that unkindly, but poor people don't own businesses.
Right.
I've never seen a poor person employ anybody. Say, well, it's not fair. It might not be fair, but they've earned their money. They've earned their position. By the way, isn't that what capitalism is? I agree with you. I think that if America would get back to work, we could hire more of our people, employ our people, make more things, and put the Chinese on unemployment. Everybody doing all right? Man, is it quiet in here tonight. Whew. Usually, unwise people who go about having contention, usually, almost always, I can't tell you it's always, almost always it's somebody with a lesser position arguing about somebody with a greater position. Almost always. Can I tell you, at age 40, whatever I am, 46, almost 47 years old, can I tell you something? Positions don't mean a whole lot. Titles don't mean a whole lot. They really don't. People try to impress you with their DDTs and PhDs and their BSs and their BAs and their MAs and their MSs and their BVDs and everything else, all right? It really doesn't matter. I don't care how many letters you put after your name. Guess what? Nobody really cares. They really don't. Wow. Okay, number 34. Moving on. Now that the brethren are encouraged. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Let's look at verse number 1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Now look at me. I think I can help you. Point 34 is this: unwise people study or plan destruction. Unwise people study or plan destruction. Now, I'm going to make some strong statements here, so hang in here with me. Evil is a planned action. The difference between sin and evil is this. Sin means you've crossed a line. You've trespassed. You've gone somewhere you should not go. You've done something you should not do. Evil is when you plan with someone else how to tear down that person. It wasn't something you just, well, we just kind of tripped into it together. Oh, no, no, no. We sat here and planned it out together, and then we went after that person. That is evil. Thank you, Brother Smith. Evil is a planned action. It is an organized, scheduled, and they study it. They study everything about it to make sure they can get it to work. Unwise people make you believe, though, that none of it was planned. It just happened. Let me give you an illustration in the news in recent days. I'll give you the name of one place in the world in the last 2 years. Benghazi. Benghazi was a planned event. It's been proven. Our government, our press, tried to make you believe that somebody made a video about anti-Muslimism and it started these protests, and that's why our ambassador and three others were killed. No. This was a planned terrorist attack. Boots on the ground confirmed it, and the White House knew it. Everybody doing okay? Unwise people want you to think, though, that it just happened. Nobody knew about it. I hate to disappoint you. Things like that don't just happen. God warns us to not even want to be with people like this. Folks, listen to me very carefully. Why do you want to be around people that plan destruction? People that gossip are evil. If they're tearing somebody else down in your presence, do you know what they're doing out of your presence? I don't know how else to say it. And if you're not careful, if you don't separate from them, they're going to plan their evil against you. They will try to destroy you. Unwise people talk casually about the destruction they create. They're the kind of people that go around and say, yeah, God used me to clean up that situation. Gag. Go through the scripture and show me somebody God used to clean up a situation. And he said, I'm going to have you go in there and mop up for me. You won't find it. Now, God did use some people, but they didn't know they were being used for it. Everybody doing all right? Number 35, I got to hurry here. Let's go to the next one. Proverbs chapter 24, look at verse number 8. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of the foolish is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. Unwise people who plan evil are considered good organizers. The Bible uses the term here, deviseth to do evil. That word deviseth means plans or schedules or organizes. People that are good at evil have a good mind for organization. If you're not careful, you can organize yourself right into evil. You really can. How many of you were in the military? Raise your hand. Okay. Many of you were involved in the military. You know, the military has done some things over and over and over so much it's become evil. And you can't get out of it. Even though it's not applicable anymore. Our government's the same way. There are certain things in government. There's certain waste in government. There are billions of dollars embedded into our economy that are labeled waste that we just accept. Say, well, we shouldn't. I agree, we shouldn't, but we've allowed it to happen. And every time we vote in one of these yard birds that is allowing that to happen, we're just as much at fault. Everybody doing okay? Evil people know how to schedule into their evil destruction, and they're good planners and good organizers. Let's use our government. Obamacare. They have planned destruction into a system. Folks, there is not one successful nation in the world with nationalized medicine. Not one. Can I tell you something? In the, even though it's been changed, what, 34, 37 times already? Illegally, unconstitutionally. The president has no right to change, delay, or manipulate a law after it's been passed. That is supposed to go through Congress. The president has no power to make law. He has the power to enforce law, not make law. Okay, and I don't care what the president's name is. If it was Ronald Reagan, it would still be wrong, just so you know. Okay, the issue is not who the guy in the White House is at the moment, though we could do much better. Mickey Mouse is a great improvement. When you schedule into that, in the bill, there are things in there. Your tax dollar is now paying for abortions. Your tax dollars are now paying, listen to this very carefully, for genocide of the elderly, the mentally retarded, and the physically unable. If you become unproductive to society, according to the original Obamacare bill, there are death camps to put you out of our country's misery so that you don't drain our economy. Sounds like Nazi Germany and Adolf Hitler to me. By the way, go back and look at it. It's there. They're good organizers. I call it wasted potential. Evil people have wasted potential. They have good minds. They're just using it for the wrong purpose. In a spiritual realm, they get people thinking about somebody's sin without trying to restore them. The issue becomes the sin, not the restoration of the sinner. The sin becomes the issue, not how to fix it. Folks, guess what? Everybody in this room is a sinner. I know that's a surprise. Well, your sin didn't bother me as bad as so-and-so's. Oh, just so you know, it all bothers God. It all bothers God. Okay, I got to move on. Number 36. I could stay there all night long, but I won't. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 3. Proverbs 27, verse number 3. The Bible says, a stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Number 36. Unwise people create a heavy spirit around them. Please listen to me carefully on this one. I want your mind especially on this. Unwise people carry a heavy spirit around them. Their evil quenches the Holy Spirit. And because of that, being around them is like carrying around stones or sand. I was working yesterday in my yard for a while, and I had 100 pounds of sand there. Yeah, it was just a little bag. It doesn't take much sand to make 100 pounds. Let me tell you. And I'm thinking, man, I grabbed into that thing thinking, maybe I should have split that thing up before I picked it up. But it was too late, amen? And I wasn't about to change it. So what'd you do? I horsed it over there, dumped it, and did what I needed to do with it. I thought, man, 100 pounds of sand, that's a lot. There wasn't much to it. I thought there'd be a whole lot more. The Bible says that unwise people are like carrying that bag of sand around. They have this ability just to bring you down, weigh you down. You can sense the evil or dark spirit around them. Have you ever been somewhere where the Holy Spirit wasn't? And when you got near there, you could just about feel it. It's like, okay, something's... You could almost feel the oppression. You could almost feel that heaviness. Can I tell you something? Unwise people carry that around them. Because there is no wisdom, a merry heart cannot exist. Do you know that evil people cannot have a merry heart? They can laugh, but they are usually laughing about evil and sin. It's not a merry heart. They create unreachable desires and depression around them. Did you ever notice where there's evil, people are depressed and whacked out and weirded out? I don't know how else to say that. But you want to go somewhere where there's evil people. Okay, go to a bar. There's not a whole lot of merriness there. At least that's what Brother Colin told me. Okay. They're depressed. It's not a happy presence. It's not an uplifting spirit. It's an oppressed, heavy, dark, weighty spirit. You get around evil and it starts bogging you down. You start seeing depression everywhere you go. You start seeing all this negative, and it keeps building, and it keeps getting heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier. Every time you're around them, it's negative, 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 negative. There's nothing good. It's all just negative. Right. You can't survive in negative all the time. Okay? I got to hurry up here. Number 38, Proverbs chapter 28. Let's look at verse number 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. I use this statement with this. Proverbs 28, verse number 1. Unwise people live looking over their shoulder. They live looking back. Say why? Because they've planned so much evil and hurt so many people. They fear somebody's coming after them. Yes. By the way, the Bible says in the New Testament, no man having put his shoulder to the plow and looketh back is worthy of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, you're worried about what took place back there and you're not looking ahead. Keep on plowing that row. Too many of us live looking over our shoulder. Can I tell you something? If you have a bad past, if you got saved, God forgave you, God forgot it, you need to forget it, and you need to go on. By the way, if somebody else you know has had a bad past and they're saved, guess what? God forgave it. They've forgotten it. Time for you to forget about it and shut up about it. That was my nice side. They attack so much and so often that they always feel like somebody's coming after them. They make you think that they're the victim because somebody's chasing them. When in actuality, nobody's chasing them. They're the destroyer. Everybody doing okay? They're the ones who in public who hide and ignore you. And then they go tell everybody that you are attacking them. Shoot. I've been places and people that don't like my insides. When I was in the Chicago area, there was a group of reporters that hated our church. Matter of fact, they hated life. Man, they had put our names in the paper. They hated us. I saw one of them one day at a store. I walked over and shook their hand. They said, "Aren't you?" I said, "I am." Man, word got back to Brother Hiles that I was unkind to them. He said, "Craig, you weren't unkind." I said, "No, sir." I said, "I walked over and shook their hand." He said, "Well, that's unkind to them." He said, "Don't worry about it." He said, "You did what I'd have done. Don't worry." Whew. How could you take shaking somebody's hand as unkind? Because they want to hide in public and then make everybody else say it's your fault. That's exactly the way evil people are. They're the ones that'll bob and weave and dodge you and then go back and tell everybody how you ignored them in public. You wouldn't talk to them and you wouldn't even look at them. Okay. Everybody doing all right? Unwise people live looking over their shoulder that way. They have to. They're so used to hurting people, they feel like, by the way, they're always on the defensive. "What do you mean by that? Did you ever work with somebody like that? You know, can you get that screwdriver? What do you mean? Could you pick it up and hand it here? Why? Okay, I'll go get it myself." I mean, there are people that are that evil. Okay, number 38, Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 5. "Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things." Unwise people have no sense of justice. Unwise people have no sense of justice. Matter of fact, you could just say unwise people have no sense, but they have no sense of justice. They want to be the judge. They don't care what the truth is. Now listen to this statement. They want to decide what truth is. They want to decide what truth is. If somebody opposes them, they call it misjustice. It's not what is the truth. It's, "Well, you disagree with me, you're unjust, you're not right, you're disloyal." Wait a minute. That's not the definition of unjust. They only want justice if it benefits them. They only want justice if it promotes their plan. When you oppose them, "Well, you're unethical." I'm so sick and tired of that word. The only people who claim unethics are the unethical. Folks, can I tell you something? If you go to work and you work hard every day and you work harder than somebody else, you're not unethical. They're lazy rascals and prove it by how hard you work. Amen? If they're going to criticize you for working hard, just keep on working hard. But unwise people have no sense of justice. You want to be the center of all knowledge. Unwise people say, "Well, I know what the truth is. Prove it." "Well, I can, but I'm not gonna." Look out. "Well, I have the proof. Let's see it. Then I want to see where you got it. Then we're going to check out the credibility of the information." Everybody doing all right? Okay, here we go. Number 39. I got to move on here. Proverbs 28, verse number 12. "When righteous men do rejoice, There's great glory. Watch this. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. Unwise people always have a hidden person influencing them. Let me teach you a little something about evil. Evil always has somebody behind the scenes that nobody sees that's organizing the whole thing. They'll never take the whole fall. Some might say, and I'm not sure that I would, but some might say our president is evil. Can I tell you this? There's somebody more evil behind the scenes helping him plan the evil that you don't see. You say, that's Michelle. It may be, but it could be Hillary. That's quite possible. No, you know, folks, you don't understand. When evil takes place, usually the source of all that is tucked away real safe, way back in the back. Do you know that the biggest drug cartels out of any country and the people who deal the huge tonnage of cocaine and marijuana and all those things, do you realize none of those people ever do any of the drugs? They're too smart to burn their brain on drugs. They don't mess with that stuff. They're just making money. See, there's somebody in the back that's always influencing, and usually somebody you don't see. The guy with his lips running, the guy with his mouth running all the time isn't the originator of it, I promise you. It's some lame brain idiot that the guy in the back found that would be his mouthpiece for him and said, go out there and sacrifice yourself. Osama bin Laden did not come over here and crash a plane and commit suicide. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He got five dummies to do it for him. We found him hiding in a little basement cave. Say why? Because he was the evil planner behind all this. He's not brave enough to go out there and do it himself. And that's how evil works. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, Brother Bush. Unwise people always have someone who is behind the scenes. Our press would use the term, well, we have anonymous sources. Anything that says anonymous sources, you can count, just throw it out. Have you noticed just in the last, let's take 15 years, the CDC, trans fats are bad. Everybody's got to get off trans fats. Now they're saying trans fats are good. Carbohydrates are bad. Everybody's got to eat meats and vegetables. That's it. And you can't eat red meat. You can only eat these vegetables or you're going to die. Guess what? No matter what you eat, you're going to die. Might as well die happy. Well, then they came out with, what was that? The Atkins diet. No carbs. People were getting sick. Then they found out you got to have some carbs. Oh, we have such a bad carbon footprint. We're putting too much carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. We're losing all of our plants. Folks, third grade science teaches you plants breathe in carbon dioxide. They breathe out oxygen. The green plants give us oxygen. And the more carbon dioxide they have, the more they grow. Our O2 emissions are so bad. If they were so bad, the globe would be overrun with greenery. They got the green part right, but it's not greenhouse gases. It's the gas coming out of their mouth. Too much hot air. Okay? The evil around you is usually just a part of a bigger evil plan. Evil is generally put together in more than one package. You might see one event, but you might not know that there's an event here, an event there, an event here, and an event there that are all going on simultaneously, working with the same person behind the scenes. Evil generally doesn't just follow in one little path. It's not one little hole and you say, boy, that was a stinky, messy hole. Glad I got out of that. No, it's related to other stinky, messy holes. And I got to hurry up here. I got three more and I have 6 minutes. Number 40, Proverbs 28, verse 28. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase. When unwise people rise to power, wise people hide from them. When unwise people rise to power, wise people move away from. They separate from. Wise people don't want to be around unwise people because they would lose their wisdom. Is that not what God said? So why would a wise person want to be around unwise people? Can I tell you something? Unwise people can't lead wise people. My favorite illustration of this is Absalom. When Absalom was rebelling against his father, King David, the Bible says that he led a certain amount of people with him, and the Bible says they followed in all their simplicity. A wise person loses their wisdom to follow someone who is unwise. So they cannot lead a wise person. They can only lead simple and other evil people. That's it. Wise people are destined to fail if the wise people remove themselves. Wise people don't need to be around unwise people because they will be attached to those unwise people. Wise people succeed when they get away from the evil influence. Remove yourself from evil influence and watch yourself succeed. Boy, that's a good statement. Let me hit number 41. Proverbs chapter 29, look at verse number 7. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. Ooh. Let me read that again. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. Unwise people have to slow down or stop helping needy people. Why unwise people end up slowing down or stopping helping needy people. Let me show you why. Because their finances are a mess. Say why? Because if they're evil and unwise in one area, money is the first area that goes down. They blame the person that they attacked as the reason they have to stop helping people. Even though it was their evil, even though it was their wickedness, even though it was their unwiseness about things, they'll blame the person they're attacking as the reason they have to stop helping people. Everybody doing okay? In recent days, it's all their fault. It's all President Bush's fault. It was worse than we thought it was. That's called unwise. Blaming somebody else. Getting money then becomes their focus, not helping others. Folks, I hate to tell you this, but we help poor people. No, I don't hate to tell you that. We help the people in our church that need it. I help strangers that I can, but I'm going to help our people. I help people that are in need. I have a need coming up here in another week or so, and we're going to raise a little bit of money to help somebody, and they don't know it. But I happen to know of a need in our church for somebody, and we're going to help them. They don't know I know it. Can I tell you something? God blesses that. I'm glad our church is known for helping people. Had a man come to this church. He said, Brother Bush, I went to another church. I have this problem, and I have this problem, and I have that problem. When I went to that church, they said I should come to your church because they said you're better able to help me and they didn't want to help me. God forbid. God forbid. Phew. I said, Doc, you're at the right place. I will help you. I promise you. These are the, and I'll use illustrations. These are the, don't get mad at me for saying this, but these are the people that don't start daycares to help their people. They start daycares to make money. These are the people that rent their church facilities out to the world to make money to pay their bills because they can't preach enough people into the church and go out and go soul winning enough to let God pay the bills. They got to do it their own way. Everybody doing all right? They begin new ways to reach middle class and upper class people so that they can pay the bills. I worked for a guy like that in California one day, and thank God, God got me out of there really quick. I will not use his name. I haven't in 23 years, not going to now. But he had gotten himself in debt over his head, couldn't pay the bills, and went hobnobbing with the Hollywood crowd to get them to come to his church to help pay the bills. Say, what happened? He's not even in the ministry anymore. Number 42, and I'm done. Look at Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 11. You'll love this verse. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Unwise people tell everything they think. They're the people that always know what's going on everywhere. If it happened, they know about it. Right. I'll be honest with you. Boy, this one's going to really hurt. Hang in there. I'm about to make probably the strongest statement I've ever made on this. I don't think social media is sinful. But I do think it's borderline evil. I do think it's unwise because too many people tell all they think. And it's out for everybody to know what you think. Be careful. Be careful. Why do we have to publish everything we know? Do you want God to do that? Unwise people just have to talk. Talk, 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 talk. I'm done. Let me make some closing statements about all 4 weeks of this. People have a corrupt view of loyalty. Some people think to stay loyal means you have to stay loyal to someone all the time or to an institution all the time. Can I tell you something? People are sinners. Sinners change. Institutions are run by sinful people. Institutions change. Evil changes people, and evil changes places. Now listen to this statement. Evil does not change principles. The principles don't change. About a year or so ago, my wife and daughter and I were back in Ohio, and I went to a church that at one time was a beehive of fundamentalism, soul winning, ran 10,000 people in church. At one time was the second largest church in America, in my hometown. Walked in, not a lady there was dressed appropriately, not one. We didn't go for service time. This was in the office. They unlocked the old auditorium for us, walked in, drum sets, electric guitars, follow the bouncing ball screens. They now have praise and worship services. And there stood in that dark auditorium, I mean this respectfully, but there stood the old man's pulpit who had preached hundreds of thousands of people getting saved in that building. There stood that lonely old sacred desk where once fundamentalism flowed, now filth flows. Filth. That pastor put his head on my shoulder at my grandmother's funeral and said, "You just keep doing what you're doing. My church has gone down. It's been destroyed, but you stay right. If you can stay right, I can go to my grave happy, son." I said, "Don't worry, I'm gonna." By the way, that was the church I got saved in. Are you loyal to that place, Brother Bush? No, I'm not loyal to any institution. I'm loyal to right. I'm loyal to right. I'm loyal to principle. I love friends. I have friends who have changed. They're still my friend. I still love them. I have a dear friend I haven't talked to probably in the last 8 years or more. I love him like a brother, but he has changed and I'm not changing with him. I refuse to change with him. You say, "Well, do you call him and just talk about the things you agree?" He quit calling me a long time ago. I figured there wasn't enough agreeable things. Let's just have fond memories and keep going. Listen very carefully. Some people will even stay loyal to people thinking that the people are the principle. People are not the principle. The Word of God is the principle. I'll love you. I'll love you in spite of your sin. You become evil, I'll still love you, but I'm going to stay with the truth and preach about your sin and your evil. Everybody doing okay? Yes, principle has no name or face attached to it. Yes, you can forgive an enemy. Yes, you should forgive an enemy. Yes, you can even forgive someone who has wronged you. But forgiveness and trust are two different things. I have forgiven everybody who has wronged me. I have forgiven everybody who hates me, but I don't trust them. Now, I'll give them a chance to earn the trust back, but I'm not going to walk up and say, "Hey, buddy, let's go to lunch." I'm not going to do it. Say, "Well, you ought to forgive." Forgiveness does not mean I sit down and eat a meal in fellowship. I can forgive without trusting. Everybody doing all right? Boy, that's a good statement. Some of you have unwise associations. Some of you spend time around unwise people. You can forgive them, but don't trust them. Make them earn that trust back. How do they earn it back? By following that book and getting out of their evil. In the process of getting out of their evil, listen to this. They become wise. When they become wise, you are then able to refellowship with them. When my dear friend of many years agreed with someone that said the inspiration of the Word of God's not necessary, the inspiration died, he and I separated ways. I said, "Don't spew your filth to me. If you can't talk about things we do agree with, you know you're wrong. You know what I believe. Don't peddle your trash my way." Last conversation I had. I love him like a brother. I really do. Say, "Don't you miss him?" I do, but there's too many people dying and going to hell that I got to reach. I'm not going to let him pull me down and away from the truth. My loyalty is not to him, it's to that book right there. If I'm loyal to that book, I'll be loyal to the right people and I'll be loyal to the right institutions. It does not change. I gotta quit. I was in the fight of my life in a church in California. Listen to this statement. The pastor said, "Craig, you're young. There was a day when I believed everything you think you believe. But time has proven to change things." I threw my Bible across his desk, slammed it down. I said, "Pastor, I love you, but you're wrong." I said, "You changed. That book did not change." I said, "I'm not changing that book for you or for anybody else. If that means we part ways, we part ways, and I'm good with that. By the way, I'm no different than I was as that 25-year-old kid sitting in that office arguing over doctrine. I still believe the same things." He said, "You'll grow up. You'll come to a point in time in your life where you'll find out those things aren't important." Well, guess what? I'm the same age he is, or was then, and I haven't changed. He did, and he's had a miserable life. I haven't. I'm having fun. How about you? How's your associations? Wise or unwise? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Evil, vile, wicked association. Sometimes it's not something that's satanic, negative, critical, backbiting. Sometimes it's a spiritual past person, but they've changed. I don't know what the need, but you do.